Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show. A lot of activity in Chicago this weekend. The Cubs are playing San Diego, and the White Sox are at Milwaukee. So you can get out to Wrigley Field and see a good ball game. And next weekend, I believe, the White Sox will be at home. We're going to talk about wrestling today. That's been a great sport in this country for many, many years. And Bob Luce here in Chicago has been the man behind it. He's done a great job. He's put on some great matches in this area. And it is a great sport and has a big following. So we'll be talking with our friend Bob Luce in just about 1 minute.
Yeah, I noticed, you know, you got a little hoarseness in your throat.
Yeah. We're going to talk about wrestling today with an old friend of ours and a real good friend, Bob Luce, who's done a lot for the wrestling fan by putting on some great matches in the Chicago area for many, many years. I can remember, Bob, when you took over from Fred Kohler. When was that?
Well, actually, Fred's last match in Chicago was in November of 1965. And he sat in the dressing room with me, and he wished me well. And I'd been with Fred about eight and a half, 9 years, and as his publicity man. And Fred was a terrific guy. Fred brought me into the business, Bob. He was the guy that took a chance with me when I had no background for this type of business. Had a lot of faith in me all the way down the line, and he always sort of enjoyed having me around. And people may talk about Fred in some instances, wrestlers and so forth. I've had wrestlers tell me how Fred was this and Fred was that, and a lot of people that didn't think Fred did the job as well as myself. But I can tell you, last night I'm walking out of Sox Park. Oh, I'm walking up the barge room with Pat O'Connor. And Pat and I are walking, and the park is empty, and he looked at me and he says, "Do you remember 1961, Bob?" I says, "Yeah, Jesus, June, 1961, June 30th, 1961. Yeah, we had 30, almost 40,000 people in that park that paid at that time $140,000. It is the biggest crowd in the history of wrestling in this town, and O'Connor, I says, "Yeah, Jesus," I says, "we needed that tonight." And he said, "You know, Bob, it'll be a long time before we get another night like that." But, wrestling does work in cycles, and Fred Kohler was responsible for that night more than anybody else. And you got to hand it to a man like that. He did a lot for the business. He put us on television, the Dumont Network, if you remember. Yeah. Fred was a master. He was a master. He wasn't a vociferous. He wasn't an outgoing person like myself. But he was a very sharp boy, a sharp man, and he had a lot of savvy. He wouldn't talk a lot, but he had a lot of things going on in his mind, and he did a lot for our business in this town. And he would have been a great promoter, Bob, in anything he'd done. I mean,
I believe it. Bob, what has been the notable change since Fred Kohler's time in wrestling?
Well, I don't really know, Bob, if I can really define it or answer the question. I don't really know what has been the big change. I think probably since Fred Kohler's time, the biggest change has been that more sports in Chicago are competing for the dollar. The Sting is here. That you couldn't even imagine at that time the Sting being in Chicago. They have a professional basketball franchise that wasn't even on the drawing board at that time. I think a couple had tried, but there was nothing like the Bulls. They have hockey is drawing big numbers. And more than anything, the Chicago Bears have turned around their, once mediocre fan turnouts to spectacular turnouts, now to the point where they're going to build these big 20, these exclusive places on the top of Soldier Field, for corporations to rent or whatever. And the Soldier Field itself being renovated for this team. You couldn't imagine that in the year of Kohler, Soldier Field being renovated for the Chicago Bears. I mean, can you imagine? I can't even imagine this. So, we're competing for this. Now they got the Hustle in town. Who would ever think that they'd have a girls basketball team in this town? DePaul is a national power, and they built Rosemont, and they're going to schedule a lot of games in Rosemont. I mean, these are all things that are going, that are competing with me, and I'm not even on the sports pages anymore. Fred, I thank, bless Fred, wherever he might be, but Fred had a knack with Axman of getting on the sports pages. I don't get on the sports pages. For my show at Comiskey Park, I had three write-ups, one by Rappaport of the Sun-Times, which I want to thank him for, and Condon wrote two columns. I had a major show, and I got three columns. That's it, you know. I mean, and not really. Condon wrote about the show, but Rappaport was more or less writing about Bruiser. So, and then in the events, the day's events, I was mentioned in both papers, which is nothing, really. You know, they just say there's wrestling at Sox Park tonight. So, I think that's another thing that's changed considerably is the coverage. They don't cover wrestling anymore at all. I mean, it's almost been written off by myself that they will cover it because I don't think they believe that we are a sport and they don't want to cover us. I mean, they feel wrestling is entertainment, strictly entertainment. And so, that's been a major change. So,
you know, as a promoter, I can ask you this question. One of the things that surprised me today, Arlington Park has a great horse running out there, probably the greatest horse of the present time, a wonderful animal, spectacular bid. Now, the people of Chicago patronize Arlington and the racetracks. They make these tracks possible. Mm-hmm. Now, here today, when Spectacular Bid is running at Arlington Park, mm-hmm. and they have nationwide television, mm-hmm. the general manager of the track blacks mm-hmm. out the very people who support it, the mm-hmm. people of Chicago. They won't get to see Spectacular mm-hmm. Bid, but people in Detroit and Omaha and all those places, they'll get to see them. I just cannot go along with that kind of thinking. I think they owe the racing fans of Chicago something, and to let them see the greatest horse of our time. How do you figure out that kind of reasoning?
Well, Bob, I'm not a horse racing fan, number one. However, I am a promoter, Bob, and I always look at both sides of the coin. I respect this gentleman, whoever made the decision.
Mr. Joyce at Arlington Park.
Well, I respect Joyce. He made the decision thinking that he did the right thing, and so we can't fault him for that. However, Mr. Joyce should look at the other side of the coin, and I would like him to look at the other side of the coin from a standpoint of a Bob Luce, who is not a horse racing fan, who could well be a horse racing fan. Spectacular Bid, I know of, hit that horse. I've heard about the horse. I've read things about the horse. I know he's a fantastic animal. And I could really sort of get excited about Arlington Park by seeing Spectacular Bid run here in Chicago at Arlington Park. And I might then, by seeing this, want to come out with my family to watch a few races in the near future. So I think what he's done is, you see, the horse racing fan probably will go out there. Maybe he won't resent it as much as people that they might not resent it that much because they are horse racing fans. You know, you can hurt your own fan and he'll come back at you. He'll come back to you because he really loves the sport. But let's look at it from the standpoint of getting people in Arlington Park. Let's make it from the standpoint of seeing what Arlington Park looks like to people who have never been there. And they'll tune that race in and he'll make new fans. He'll make new believers. They'll want to come out there. I understand it's a beautiful park, but I've never really seen the park. So here's a chance that he could get this coverage, this tremendous coverage on a network that have all these facilities, the cameras, and these people to call a race that can excite you to the point where one more customer will come and see Joyce's racing. That's my way to look at it.
Well, I think so, too. And there are a lot of people who have supported Arlington over the years who may be elderly now. They can't get around. There are many people who have supported Arlington over the years who are ill. They can't get out to see Spectacular Bid. Why should they be denied the opportunity to see this horse? In my own opinion, Mr. Joyce is very, very short-sighted.
Well, I tell you, Bob, it's true. Sports promoters are very callous when it comes to some of their fans. They're very callous. And they overlook the point that the fans made their sport what it is. And they sometimes make big errors where they do ignore them, like they're ignoring the older people, the elderly that can't make it to the park, that want to see this race, or for some reason can't make the race. And you cannot ignore your fans. You've got to, I don't care how much money you make with your business, you got to always think about the fans because they can make you or break you. Today especially, Bob, unfortunately, that's the case. And I think that you got a point.
Bob Luce, where you've been in wrestling practically as long as I've known you, which is many years in your lifetime, where did it all start?
Well, as I mentioned before the show, Bob, I can't really say. They say that it started at the beginning of man because of the fact that it's a natural impulse. You want to wrestle with your fellow man, you see. And when you're children, you want to wrestle, see. And you grow up, you know, you scuffle even good-naturedly as you get older. You might meet a friend, you know, put a hold on him or whatever. I think that wrestling has always been with us. But what we see in the ring today, what we see, the type of wrestling we see now, is a sport where it's different than it's when it began, as you know, and as it came into being, where they would spend hours on the mat and they would spend hours in a match. As I told you about a friend of mine last night, I was standing with Bernie, a friend of mine, at the matches, and a friend of his got out of his seat at right in the height of one of the matches and had his boy with him. He says, "Well, I'm leaving. I almost falling asleep." And the matches were tremendous. But here was a gentleman that we weren't moving fast enough. We weren't doing our thing for him as fast as he wanted to be done. And we've been criticized for opening our business up and making it quick and fast and the matches short because we want to try to keep the people interested. We want the matches to move. We don't want them just lay on the mat. So because of the endurance factor, you've got to make shorter matches. But here's a man that wasn't satisfied with that. So where do you win the battle? And you know,
well, it's been a long, long time since the days of the guy that you came after, Fred Kohler.
Yeah, right. Fred Kohler. I was. I tell you,
you were wrestling then at Marigold.
Yeah, right. At Marigold. It's. I've had a terrific run. You know, in the business. I mean, I've managed to see the biggest and the best, and have promoted the best shows. I feel. And I feel that this is my last year. I've decided, I think, to leave the business at the end of this year, Bob. And I've given a lot of thought even before this. I've thought about it. And one of my partners talked me back into staying. A couple of months ago, I mentioned that I was going to get out. And I tell you, last night was not the most successful night for me because we didn't have the turnout I expected. And I'm a little depressed about it. However, I don't blame the fans. I don't blame the wrestlers because the matches were fantastic. Gagne won back the title, and I'm excited about that. And they just did terrific matches. I just think, Bob, that today it's such a tough battle, you know, for myself in Chicago, especially with the newspapers and it's like going to war. When I go out there and try to promote a show, I mean, I reach a lot of negative thinkers about my business that are in control of writing columns, in control of doing television. And even though they like me personally, and they like, you know, what I'm trying to do, and they respect me for what I'm doing, they have a negative opinion of my business, and therefore it makes it very tough for me to generate my operation and make money, you see. And in other markets, we're doing a lot better than we're doing here right now, and it's sort of depressing. So I feel that it's time maybe I step aside and let somebody else come in that maybe has different ideas, you see. That's my thinking about running the operation in Chicago because it is a tremendous market. I mean, 7 million people here. We got a terrific product and we're doing major our television show is reaching out to thousands and thousands of viewers by the Arbitron and Nielsen ratings. So people are watching the show. So it's just, I think, it's not as easy as it was. 5 years ago it was easier to promote than it is today, and 5 years from today it's probably going to be even harder to promote. Wrestling, that is, you know. But, wrestling will always be with us, as Gagne told me last night in the barge room, and told Mike Vec, you know, wrestling has been, you know, good to me for 30 years, and, you know, even if when I'm out of the business, it's going to continue. And that's true. Sure. It's just that you got a new set of rules. A new game plan, and it's not exactly the type of thing that I like to, you know, some guys like to work under certain conditions. That's Bob Luce. He likes to work under optimistic conditions where people are, don't like me personally, but they like my business. And it's come to the point where it's pretty rough. I mean, it's rough when, when you send out 12 releases on a big show like this, and you don't get, all you get is Dave Condon writing two columns, which, it's not that I'm trying to put Dave down. He's a tremendous columnist, and I love him, and he's got a powerful column. However, there is no articles in the paper, by the sports editor, who liked the show, still, they declined to write something about it, other than Condon's column. And Rappaport, I tried to get him to talk to one of the contestants in the main event, and he just wanted to talk to Bruiser to do a story on Bruiser. See, in other words, they've lost sight of what I'm doing, see? Now, what do? You don't beat them over the head, you know, they're in control. The younger writers, Verdi and some of these boys who I've never met, I mean, they couldn't care less about wrestling. I mean, they'll follow the Sting around and kicking the ball. I mean, wrestling is older than any sport. They'll follow the Sting around. They'll assign a writer to the Sting. They'll sign a writer to basketball. They'll follow the guy around when he throws an ice bucket on somebody's head. When he hurts it, when he pulls his leg or tendon into his leg. When he gets out of the car on the wrong side or drives on the wrong side of the street, they'll write about it. But when Bob Luce wants to, two bona fide, absolute, 100% scientific, top-notch wrestlers go into the ring at Sox Park and want to wrestle for the title, and a bona fide wrestling match that proved to be one of the greatest matches I've ever seen, when they don't want to write about it, when they turn their back on you. Yeah. I mean, it's time for you to pack up your suitcase and get into something else, and just not bother with them, you know. Let somebody else fight that battle. Let somebody else get on their knees and genuflect and beg them to please put something in about wrestling. We did get the results of the match in the paper, and I want to thank Condon for that, because I think he had a lot to do with that. And I want to thank George Langford, sports editor of the Tribune, for that. And I want to thank the Sun-Times sports editor, Ray Sons, for that. However, they're up against the gun. They can only do so much, you see. It's policy. It's paper policy.
You just mentioned three of the nicest guys in the newspaper business.
Right. Top-notch people. You see, it's not their fault. You see, somewhere I feel I personally failed, that I've been unable to reach them. They don't understand, you know, what I'm doing. I mean, I'm doing a television show and producing the show and doing the commercials myself. Not because I like to do commercials. Not because I like to play funny on the television so I can get people to buy cars. But because I have to do this so that we can pay for the show, because we don't get it for nothing. The Bears get CBS for zero. And the NFL, they get that for zero. See? That's zero. They get that zero, Bob. See, so you see, it's out of kilter, Bob. We need something has to be done. There's a catalyst that is needed here. Maybe an O'Brien that came in the National Basketball Association. We need somebody to, people that like me personally. You understand? I know very prominent people in town who like me personally, who absolutely would do anything they could probably to help me out, but they can't help me. I mean, I got to do it myself, and I just somewhere along the line after that show last night, as I'm leaving the park, I failed. I don't know where I failed, you know, and I think I failed. I let down my wrestlers. I let down my business, and I got to take myself out of the game, I think. I really think so. You know, it comes time where nobody's going to take me out of the game. You understand, Bob? It's got to be my own initiative, and I think it's time Bob Luce looks in the mirror and says, hey, take yourself out, you know.
I hope not, Bob. I hope not. Yeah. Our guest today, the top figure in wrestling in Chicago, Bob Luce, will be back with our guest in just a moment.
See, you've been out of touch.
I've been out of touch.
You're out of touch, too.
Our guest today at Northwest Federal is one of the top wrestling promoters in the country, and an old friend, Bob Luce, who's been in this business a long, long time. When you talk about great figures, like I'm thinking about fellas that I really loved in sports, like Red Grange, football, Lou Gehrig in baseball, worked his way through Columbia, washing dishes, turned out to be one of my great friends, as long as he was alive, just a wonderful guy. What about figures in your business? Now, Vern Gagne is just a class guy and a really great wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bruno Sammartino, they've got Shea Stadium skill for 300 grand, and he's gonna be on top there wrestling in that ballpark, and he's probably one of the greats, and a Bruiser, definitely one of the top notch boys, one of the greats, one of the legends in our business. I would say right off the top of my head, those are three people that I would say are very important. I could name other lights, lesser lights, as far as people that are listening might be concerned with, that might not know, that I know. But we have our great superstars, just like they do, and they're known. They're well known. You'd be surprised, Bob, how many people really know about wrestling and understand our business. And they say they don't follow it. They say they don't watch it, some of them, but they watch it and they follow it. And some of them say they don't, you know, it's a show. And some of them say, I was at a dinner the other day, Bob, and sitting next to me was a young fella, a school teacher. I don't want to, this is not, he was, he, but he had a lot of answers. He knew about everything. He was, you know, he was a smart boy. And we started talking about wrestling. He said, you know, that wrestling is, that's not for real, you know. And I said, well, why do you say that? Well, I mean, you can see that. I said, well, why can you see it? Well, what do you see that you don't believe in? I mean, don't you think they really take a body slam? Don't you think that they, well, they know how to fall. I says, know how to fall. I says, when a plane comes in O'Hare, if it doesn't know how to land, it crashes. I says, what are you talking about? Know how to fall. I says, my God, they've got to know how to fall. What do you want us to do? Lift them up every time we body slam them and break their leg? I says, it doesn't make any sense. I says, every time they make a tackle on a football field, you want the guy to be carried off the field? We have bone-crushing tackles. We have terrific body slams. Well, when they hit him, they don't hurt him. They don't hurt him? Well, why wouldn't they hurt him? I says, do they have to knock him out every time? Every time you throw a punch, you have to knock a guy out? I says, but anyway, he said, well, I'll tell you, I said, well, let me ask you a question. After he talks to me for 10 minutes, he says, let me ask you a question. I said to him, are you a fan? And he says, a fan? How could I be a fan? I've just been sitting here insulting your business. How can I be a fan? I says, because you'd be surprised. That's who insults my business a lot of times, are fans. He says, well, I'm not a fan. My mother was a fan. My brother was a fan. My father was a fan. But I'm not a fan. I says, oh, I see. I says, well, at what age did you finally decide wrestling was not on the up and up? And he says, when I was 11 years old. I says, geez, you were a smart kid. I says, now what exactly made you come to this conclusion when your whole family loved wrestling? He says, well, I just watched TV and I saw what was going on and I just told them all. I says, hey, Ma, that's fake. Hey, Ma, that's not real. And Ma tell me, shut up, you know. But he says, I insisted to tell him. And my Ma used to say, how do you know that? We were just watching television. I know it. And I said, gee, I says, you are really an incredible guy. I says, I bet you're so smart that you figured that all out and have never been to a match. He says, that's right. See? So in other words, what are we dealing with here? Are we dealing with somebody with a full deck? We're dealing with a guy that probably is a great school teacher, but he doesn't know a darn thing about sports in general. So he can pick apart anything. He can say the pitcher in a baseball game is not really throwing the ball. It's an illusion. There is no such thing as a baseball. That sphere going through the air is an illusion. That the batter swinging is an illusion. A hit's an illusion. You know, so, you know, we can carry this thing too far. What they do in a wrestling ring, Bob, is wrestle. The sport has not changed. In 1911, Gotch wrestled Hackenschmidt. And despite the fact that the match went, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes maybe, we haven't changed. We have not changed. The only thing that we've changed about is our wrestlers are bigger today. Still the same. Mad Dog Vachon was sitting and talking to this guy with AM Chicago, and he made the crack. You know, are you a show? Are you fake? Or something like this. And Mad Dog Vachon says, if it's an act, he says, why can't you just go right in there and wrestle? And he says, well, what do you mean? He says, well, you're an actor. Get in there and wrestle, because if you say you need an actor, he says, or listen, let's go down and pull a cab driver out of a cab and throw him in the ring. And he says, then what's going to happen? You say you don't need any talent. And the guy says to him, he says, Rob Weller says, well, I mean, I don't know what would happen. And Mad Dog says, but I know what will happen. He says, the guy will get killed. Hey, and the point is that you sit in the dressing room and see some of these guys, the Crusher, the Bruiser, Mad Dog Vachon.
What athletes they are.
Heenan, great athletes, and more than that. I mean, they're getting bounced around 5-6 days a week. People listening to my voice right now, they couldn't take it 2 days. They'd get thrown up in a body slam and their back would be out for 4 weeks. They wouldn't be able to walk. They'd step off a curb and they pull their back. Can they imagine getting dropped 6 feet? I mean, and get dropped 6 feet, you know, do you think I'd wrestle? I've often said, I have so much respect for these guys. I'm sitting at ringside watching Gagne and Bockwinkel last night. I mean, these fellas are fantastic. They're doing things in that ring. I mean, Gagne, I get ouchies when I see this guy. When I, when he, I mean, Bachman could pull him into the corner in a, you know, a metal pole, and he hits his groin. You know what I mean? I mean, this is ridiculous. But people sit there on their hands, and the guy that he knows it all. See, he's been everywhere. Actually, he hasn't been out. He hasn't been to the grocery store. Uh-huh, that's not real. You know, and all that jazz. You know, how, oh, that's, they're putting that on. Reminds me of the story of my wife when she was trying to get my daughter, my, her sister to wrestle. And she said, now the first thing I'm going to show you is the body slam. Oh, terrific. So she started to pick her up, the body slammer. And my sister said, her sister said, wait a minute. Don't do that. What are you going to do? And she had a mattress down on the floor. She says, I'm going to body slam you. I'm going to let you know how it feels. Well, you aren't really going to body slam me. Yeah, I'm going to body slam. I didn't. You mean I've really got to be, in other words, all of a sudden, don't you understand? She's been watching wrestling, her own sister wrestle, and she thought it was an illusion. That they don't really go in the air. Do you understand, Bob? They're watching killings on television. They're watching, you know, they're watching those three Charlie's Angels, you know, run around with guns and shoot everybody, and everybody shoots them, and people die, people get killed, people get their head cut off. They got a new movie out now where a woman's raped and she goes and kills four guys or whatever. They watch things, and all of a sudden, our boys flying through the air, getting their arms maimed, getting their backs put out, getting their, everything wrenched, they don't believe us. We got to take a club in the ring now. We got to take a knife. We got to take a chain. We got to do something, you know, where a head rolls off or an ear falls off. You understand? And then they might believe us. But they wouldn't believe us then, Bob. See, do you understand my point? Do you understand my point? I mean, the point is that, I mean, I don't know what's happened. But people seem to think that what they see doesn't really happen. That everything is a game. That's nothing. There's nothing for real. They're going to be doubters about pro football. They're going to be doubters about baseball. They're going to be doubters. See, there's a lot of doubters in the world today. There's not enough believers. There's too many doubters. Not enough believers. See, if you believe in wrestling, you can go out and you can enjoy the show because the boys are putting out. If you don't believe, you don't deserve to be there. See.
Our guest today, and those are his opinions, and there's a lot to them, is an old friend and the top promoter of wrestling in this part of the country, Bob Luce. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. We're talking at Northwest Federal with Bob Luce, one of the top wrestling promoters in the country. Another old friend of ours just came along, Ed Frolik, famous big league trainer for many, many years. What about back problems, Ed?
We now have the back support cushion in all the Northwest Federal branches, and it's one of the finest premiums you could possibly get.
So that's good for Bob Luce to remember. Some of his men get back trouble.
It's good for everybody, Bob. Everybody that walks the face of the earth, because 75 million people in the United States have a back problem of one type or another, and this is comfort. It's the essence of comfort.
What about you, Bob? You
5 million. In other words, and the 75 million are not wrestlers. So imagine they're just doing their job. They're just going to work and sitting down. I mean, they're sitting down in the bathroom and they're sitting down at the kitchen table and they're going out and plowing the backyard or they're mowing the grass and there's 75 million back problems. And yet we're throwing guys 6 feet in the air. We're knee dropping guys and they say to us, how much? Then there's a back problem. See, now this is, Doc Frolik, I'm glad he brought that up, see. You know, Bob, I want to tell you, Bob, this problem is so deep-rooted in the American culture right now, it's like a cancer. It's got to be cut out. You got to start believing. This country has got to start believing. They got to believe. If they don't believe, we're going right down the drain. Because it's in my business, that's one thing. But it's in the economy. They don't believe in their own economy. They don't believe in their own cars. They don't believe in their own banks. They don't believe in their own people. They got to buy cars from Japan because they don't believe in their own product. They think it's funny. People are making fun of our own country. They're making fun of our athletes, and it goes deep in this country. I am sick and tired of hearing people cry to me. See, and when I work hard and what I do my best. And I wouldn't buy a Japanese car because I believe in America. You see? I believe in my politicians. I believe that's their business. I believe in my country. If people start believing in their country, this country will survive. If we keep going down this road, people don't care. They don't care about one another. You know that.
While he's saying this, he's punching me in the chest here. And I'm not sure I'm gonna last much longer. I agree with you, Bob. Bob, thanks for taking the time to be with us today. It's always a pleasure.
All right, Bob. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Doc Froelich. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Our guest today has been Bob Luce, the top promoter in wrestling in our country, and he does a great job. Have a nice time and have a nice weekend. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.